This is the Falcoholic Podcast, the official podcast of the Atlanta Falcons on the SB Nation Podcast Network. This is David Walker, and on today's podcast, we're continuing our series where we preview the 2021 Falcons roster. Today, we're going to talk about the offensive line, and I absolutely had to have our next guest on to talk about that. Even though Sean Harlow is not on the roster, I still want to talk about the OL with this guy, one of my favorite writers at thefalcoholic.com, the one and only Adnan Ekic. Adnan, thanks for joining me.
I'm very happy to be here at EW right now. Just for the listeners to know, it's a Sunday morning as we're recording this. And what better way to kick off our Sunday morning than by talking about the offensive line, about the Atlanta Falcons?
Oh, I hope it's a good omen for our opinions on the offensive line. Because I'll be honest, and Adnan, I want to get your take here as well. Of all of the position groups, and this includes defense, of all the position groups that has me the most nervous, this one may be at the top of the list. And it's not that I don't think there aren't quality players on the offensive line. It's that there's so many question marks. And I think if you look, you know, across the line in the trenches, you know, defensive line, I think obviously has a ton of question marks as well. But this one, I think, you know, for Arthur Smith, we're all sort of, you know, thinking, okay, the defense is probably not going to be good. We were going in thinking it's not going to be good. But part of the reason we got Arthur Smith as head coach is we're really hoping for a good offense this year. Even if the defense can't keep up, we're really hoping that the offense can carry their weight. And this could be the unit that keeps that from really hitting its potential. So what are your sort of overall thoughts or, you know, feelings about the offensive line as we head into the season, which is really training camp is less than a week away at this point?
I'm nervous. Like you said, it's something where it's such a massive question mark with this offensive line that you don't know what you'll get. And, you know, there's really good reason to be very anxious about this unit. Mm-hmm. We know that it has at least two players who are very above average and, you know, can even be considered good at their positions, and Jake Matthews and Chris Lindstrom. Lindstrom, I think, and this is starting with the good news right now, Chris Lindstrom, I think, can be a Pro Bowler this year. I think he is going to take that next step and ascend into becoming a perennial Pro Bowler that you were expecting him to be when you took him with a pretty high mid to high draft pick in the early teens as a surprising pick. But Lindstrom, you know, I can't wait to see him continue his ascension. Jake Matthews, we already know about Jake Matthews. He's a metronome. He's steady as can be at the left tackle spot. There's really not much else to say about him. His pass blocking grade last year, according to PFF, a very, very robust 84.0. Run blocking wasn't all the way up there, but we know that in the modern NFL, pass blocking is what makes the money. So that's the good news. I'm very excited about those guys. But then after that, it's a lot of question marks. Alex Mack left the Falcons this past offseason. He's someone that was an absolute, you know, anchor at the center position for the past five years since the Atlanta Falcons signed him in the summer of 2016. You know, Alex Mack was kind of slowing down. He wasn't at his Pro Bowl level from his first two or three years with the Falcons, especially as a pass blocker. He was on the down end of his career, but behind him, Falcons took Matt Hennessy in the third round in the draft last year, and Hennessy really didn't showcase himself very well last year, especially when it comes to pass blocking. I understand he faced some really, really rough competition, you know, some very very difficult competition down the stretch of the season last year, playing against the Chiefs, against the Buccaneers. But he was benched as a guard because he just kept getting owned when it came to pass blocking. And, you know, hopefully he can take that next step this year. Behind him, the Falcons took Drew Dahlman, who is a bit of a project as a center, just because he's so light. He's around 300 pounds, but he fits in perfectly with what Arthur Smith wants to do,
Yes.
as you know, in zone blocking. Because, and you know, he's someone where I talked about it ad nauseum during the draft. Terry Fontenot, coming from that New Orleans GM tree, where right now I noticed a trend and a pattern in the way that he was drafting these players, in that they all have pretty high relative athletic scores, RASs, which is a new tool used that pretty much takes into account everything: their length, their weight, you know, their height. Just it's a comprehensive all-in-one score that basically tells the story of a player's athletic prowess, their physical prowess. And Drew Dolman was a 9.9 on this RAS, which was very exciting. Only Creed Humphrey he was a 10.0, which was a perfect score, was ahead of him as far as centers were concerned. So, you know, Drew Dolman is someone whom I'm pretty excited about, but whom I don't think is going to make much of an impact in his first year. And if he does, it'll be because Matt Hennessy failed to live up to expectations. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's you sort of immediately jumped into, I think, the first competition that we're all sort of eyeing, and that is that center position. As you already mentioned Alex Mack, and I won't rehash that. But yeah, it right now, I think the presumption is everyone is sort of tentatively penciling in Matt Hennessy for center. And it's, you know, to your point, and I do want to caveat the year he had last year, because most rookies in 2020 didn't have a proper rookie training camp. They didn't have preseason games. They didn't have a full training camp. A lot of the training camp was virtual because of all the COVID, standards and protocols that were in place. So for almost every rookie in the league, it was just an uphill battle to try to even get, you know, really into the NFL. Like, for many of these guys, their first on-field action was, you know, essentially in the couple of weeks heading up into the first regular season game. So I don't, you know, I think a lot of people are like, oh, Hennessy was terrible last year. And he was actually one of our four. He was in the bottom five of our offensive graded players by PFF. I'm looking at it now, and it was not good. Like, but again, I want to put that caveat on there that he and every other rookie just simply did not have a meaningful training camp with which to get ready. And, you know, to your point, Drew Dolman could step in and surpass him. You mentioned it. I think the concerns with him are, obviously, he's a rookie. He will have had, you know, more of a training camp than Hennessy had as a rookie. And he's a little bit undersized. I think Hennessy outweighs him by 8 to 10 pounds. But Dolman is someone that, you know, coming out, as you mentioned, the athleticism is top notch. He's considered to be a very smart, intelligent player. And honestly, that is sort of what Alex Mack was at center, a very smart player, very athletic, you know, someone that liked to get out there and run. And that's going to be important in, you know, this wide zone running scheme that we're going to be going back to, that Dirk Koetter sort of, you know, bastardized and moved us away from over the past 2 years. So that center position is, I think, I think the first one in my mind that it's like, the battle is between a rookie and a second year player that is functionally a rookie. So we are looking at two young guys at the center of this. And let's be honest, last time this happened was 2013, the year after Todd McClure was essentially
The
forced to
year of
retire.
Peter Kahns.
Yes. And like, ultimately, you know, Kahns, I think, ended up getting benched. They went through guys like James Stone, Joe Hawley, I think, you know, was a decent starter at center for a year and a half before injury started knocking him out of the lineup. But it wasn't until 2016 that they finally got that center position stabilized again.
Yeah,
You
because
know.
Mike Person had like four fumbles just
Oh,
snapping the ball in
yeah,
2015.
that was so bad. And he actually started off really well, but fell apart as the season went along.
And you're completely right about Matt Hennessy. And it's one of those things where I really, really hope that after a full off season with the team, that Matt Hennessy comes in and just sets the world on fire. And if not, then that Drew Dolman comes in and is one of the incomparable rookie centers of our generation, where he just like goes out there and just has a heck of a season. It's going to be super, super exciting to watch that competition, both in training camp and in the preseason. It's one of maybe the top three or the top five competitions to watch with this team. Because another thing that Drew Dolman has going for him is that this regime picked him. There is no tie for Matt Hennessy to this front office, to this coaching staff. They didn't select him. That was the previous regime. Drew Dolman was, hand selected by Terry Fontenot in his first ever draft as the GM of the Falcons. And that it matters. I know it doesn't feel like it should, but it matters with these front offices, with these coaches who, they vouch for these players. They take them, and they'll give them more chances. It's why my guy Sean Harlow, who was a fourth round pick, kept getting chances over and over with the Falcons, despite never being good enough to crack the lineup.
Oh man, there had to be a Sean Harlow reference in there. Fantastic. Yes, and I think that's a very good point. That said, I do think this coaching staff will give Hennessy the opportunity to try to earn the job. But if all things are equal and Hennessy and Dalman are both showing to be at roughly the same level, roughly the same performance, I think you're right. I think Dalman will get the nod because, as you noted, he's the pick of the new regime. And so I think Hennessy has got his work cut out for him. I think he needs to drastically outperform Drew Dolman in order to absolutely 100% earn the job. That said, right now, if I were to pick, I think Hennessy will be the starter on day one, but I will not be surprised if Dolman finds a way to change that story between now and the first game of the season. So I'm with you on that. Now, I do want to talk about we know left guard is obviously another spot, and we'll get to that in just a second. I want to talk about, the tackle situation. Because right now, you mentioned Jake Matthews, and for people who are just hardcore Jake Matthews haters, you're not this podcast is not for you. We are Jake Matthews defenders at the Falcoholic and on this podcast. And if you don't like it, you can just piss off with your
Yeah,
takes.
BW, I think you and I are two of the staunchest Jake Matthews like supporters on in Falcons media.
Yeah, easily, and in my mind, deservedly. So this guy by PFF, his lowest pass blocking grade was his rookie year, which was a 65. Since then, the second lowest was 78.8, which was 2016, which was when they had one of the best offenses in the league.
And that's a really
That's
good pass
yes.
blocking grade.
Yeah,
Like
exactly.
78 is real. This isn't like, in school where 78 is like a C and that's like average. 78's a really good pass blocking grade.
Yes, and I think it's important to know when you get into the 80s, that by PFF is basically a designation that you're Pro Bowl level. So, and Jake Matthews has consistently for the past 4 years been in the mid to high 80s for pass blocking. As you mentioned, his run blocking has not been as good as, back in 2016, 2017, but he is bar none a just a phenomenal starter on the left side. And I want to point this out because people bring this up to me all the time and it drives me absolutely insane because this is not backed up by the facts whatsoever. They keep saying, oh, he gets so many penalties, he gets so many penalties. Wrong. He had three penalties last year. He had seven in 2019. He had three in 2018, and he had four in 2017. His most heavily penalized year was 2016, again, where apparently it really didn't make a difference because the Falcons had the highest scoring offense in the league that year.
That DW, I think that completely stems from that penalty in the Super Bowl. Like that one
100%
penalty,
does.
it just completely made the narrative.
And to be fair, if like having gone back and watched that was a ticky tack. Like you see guys get away with that stuff every single week in the NFL, and it just happened to get called on in that play in that game.
Yeah, I just can't believe you went back and watched that.
Oh no, it's yeah. I'm a glutton for punishment. What can I say? but the offensive tackle. All right, you and I are both settled on Jake Matthews. The other name, though, I want to talk about before we go and talk about left guard, which we know there's going to be competition there. Caleb McGarry. You know, he, like Chris Lindstrom, is coming into his third year. His first year was awful. Let's be honest. It was, he was not the player that we hoped he would be in his first year. His second year, he did take a step forward. He improved a good bit.
Nowhere to go but up.
Yes, when you're one of the worst players in the league. 2020, he got a good bit better. He was more of a run blocker than a pass blocker. Bar none, some of his worst games were against good pass rushing teams, particularly in New Orleans, where he just absolutely got abused in the middle of the season by New Orleans' stout pass rush. McGarry, to me, he's the presumed starter, and I think rightfully so. However, until he got injured, and we don't know the extent of the injury still, I felt like Matt Gono could be someone that could push him as competition on that right side of the line, because, you know, if McGarry was better, but he was still inconsistent from game to game, you might get like a really great performance, and then he would follow it up with being an abject disaster. And so it's like boom or bust last year with McGarry. So he showed that he has a potential. And, you know, Adnan, you mentioned the RAS profile. His RAS profile is fantastic too. Like McGarry is high up there in his RAS score. And I think people sort of forget he's actually a pretty athletic kid out there at right tackle. But I was a little bit concerned with the inconsistency. Am I being too harsh on him? Do you feel like he'll be fine in year three? Or are you a little bit on the fence about his potential out at right tackle as well?
Oh, I'm completely on the fence, not just a little bit. And Caleb McGarry, I think, is the biggest wild card. And it is the most important thing for the Falcons offensive line this year for Caleb McGarry to have a good season. Because, you know, we mentioned Lindstrom and Matthews are fine. Like, yeah. I fully expect, you know, Pro Bowl level play from both of those guys. Center and left guard, that's not as fine because there's going to be so much inexperience and youth at those two positions. Mm-hmm. You need Caleb McGarry to have a good year at right tackle because you can't have three below average offensive linemen on this unit.
Yeah.
Because I think right now it would be fair to say that center and left guard will probably be below average unless something very surprising happens. Mm-hmm. You need three plus level starters on this offensive line to make things work and for it to not go into the realm of becoming a disaster. Because, you know, as good as Matthews and Lindstrom are, they're only two guys out of five. Yep. You know, you need that more than half, like, you know, metric for things to work. And Caleb McGarry, like, he has not, objectively, he has not been worth the first round, you know, selection in the trade up thus far. You mentioned in 2019, he was a disaster. He led the league in sacks given up among offensive linemen. He was better in 2020, but he still wasn't worth that first round pick so far, even by his improvement in 2020. We really need a third year step, a third year leap from Caleb McGarry. And, you know, I'm incredibly, incredibly nervous because, like you said, so inconsistent last year. Like, you can't afford for your right tackle to just go completely boom or bust. Like the tackle positions, you need them to be solidified. You need them to be solid, especially in today's NFL. And, you know, just the fact that we're mentioning, and no disrespect at all to Matt Gono, you know, he's someone who, you know, has come a long way. He's someone who is, you know, a favorite among the writers at the Falcoholic just because, you know, he's taken it from the mud as an undrafted free agent. And, you know, so far, I want to see him succeed. We all want to see him succeed. But just the fact that we're mentioning the idea of Matt Gono possibly pushing Caleb McGarry, who was this first round draft pick a few years ago, that's a problem in of itself. And McGarry, he's someone where we need him both this year and long term to work out, because it's gonna suck having to, find a right tackle on top of all of the other laundry list of positions that we're gonna have to address in the years to come. So
Yeah,
we really
no
need
kidding.
McGarry to work out.
Yeah, this could be one of the positions where if McGarry does not turn that corner the way we're hoping, the Falcons may be yet again drafting an offensive lineman early in the draft, which they've done a lot of. They did a lot of that in the tail end of Dimitroff's time as GM. Unfortunately, we're not sure if it has completely worked out. This is, to me, the biggest wild card. Like you said, we know the interior of the line is going to be a toss-up. This position really should be more stable. And to the point that Jake Matthews has been so rock solid on the left side, it makes McGarry's job harder because defenses are going to focus their pass rush against the weakest link. And it is going to consistently be McGarry. And so he is always going to see like the best pass rusher on each team. So he absolutely has to get better, or else, this could be a long season. That said, one of the things I'm holding on to as hope is the fact that Arthur Smith played offensive line in college. He is very intimate with the position, he takes it very seriously. This is a guy who very much believes in building from the trenches and out. And as a reminder, last year in Tennessee, Arthur Smith lost his starting left tackle. And who did he have to put out there as his starting left tackle? Tyson Braio. And we all remember what Turnstile Ty did in Atlanta. And yet, Arthur Smith was able to make it work. Tennessee still ended up having one of the best offenses in the league last year, even with a massive, massive downgrade at the tackle position, going down to a guy like Tyson Braio. And even I don't think Tyson Braio played, but just a couple games before he got injured. So Arthur Smith finished the year with like a third string tackle on the offensive line. So that gives me some hope that this new coaching staff and Arthur Smith should help some of these guys turn the corner, but it's not a guarantee. So I want to talk about the left guard competition. I want to talk about the depth on the roster and how young it is. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're back on the Falcoholic Podcast. This is David Walker. I'm joined by fellow writer Adnan Nikic. We're talking about the Falcons roster going into 2021, specifically the offensive line. In the first half, we talked about Jake Matthews, Chris Lindstrom, our concerns with Caleb McGarry. Now let's talk about that left guard spot, because just like center, there's not a guaranteed starter there. Let's talk about some of the names that right now are at the top of that list. I think if you were to ask most people, who do you think will be the day one starter at left guard, if it was built just around who's on the roster today, I think most people say it's probably going to be Josh Andrews, who is one of the few veterans in this group, and we'll talk about the youth on this roster in just a minute. In my mind, it's probably going to be Josh Andrews. The other name I think that people are sort of clinging to as someone that again, for reasons you mentioned in the first half, Adnan is someone that was drafted by this regime, is Jalen Mayfield, the rookie out of Michigan, who is sort of, I don't want to say the consensus head scratcher of the draft, but a lot of people feel like, yeah, there were other guys that they could have taken when they took Mayfield, and maybe his draft position didn't make a ton of sense for his talent. But left guard, Andrews, Mayfield, anyone else, what do you think about the position, and how concerned are you that this is a question mark into the season?
This, other than Edge, right now is the biggest question mark on the Falcons roster completely. because, you know, I understand left guard has been a position of weakness for the past few years because Thomas Dimitroff could not evaluate offensive line to save his life.
Nope.
And he had, you know, he gave James Carpenter some big money to play below average football for the past few years. But, you know, to Carpenter's credit, he was, you know, better last year than he was the year before that. Like, Carpenter wasn't an abject disaster at left guard last year. His pass blocking was, you know, solid 62, according to Pro Football Focus. And, you know, he's still someone whom I'm sure the fan base isn't losing any sleep over him leaving. And, you know, I'm sure they're welcoming him not being on the roster anymore. But Josh Andrews last year was horrendous. Like,
yeah,
Josh Andrews' pass blocking, he made James Carpenter look like David Bakhtiari as far as pass blocking is concerned.
Oh,
I mean, like, his pass blocking grade, according to PFF, was an 18.1.
Like, oh, my word.
I almost didn't even know that it could get that low. It, among offensive linemen who played at least 20% of their team snaps last year, Josh Andrews had the third lowest pass blocking grade in the NFL. And this is among, like, over 200 players along the offensive line. So, you know, he's someone who was always a below average pass block. Last year was really the first year where he really, you know, kind of got playing time. He had fewer than 100 snaps of playing time before last season. And last year he was just, you know, dreadful. So, you know, hopefully, like you said, Arthur Smith can work some magic with him. And, but, you know, I'm going to be incredibly, incredibly nervous if he's lining up at left guard for the Falcons. But, you know, right now he is the proverbial favorite just because Jalen Mayfield is pretty raw. Like, Jalen Mayfield feels like a pick you make for year two.
Right.
But he may have to, you know, be thrown, you know, into the fire in year one right away because, you know, Jalen Mayfield, he's someone who that played at the tackle position in most of his time in college, but he's going to kick into a guard position just because he's better suited for that by his skill set. His RAS score was, you know, a pretty poor 4 point something. I forgot what exactly it was as a tackle, but when he kicks into guard, it's above a 7.0, which is very solid. Mayfield is someone whom I'm going to be rooting for him in this offensive line training camp battle, because you know, if we're going to be weak at the position, I'd rather we be weak with a young rookie,
right,
learning and, you know, hopefully improving as time goes along, because, you know, Josh Andrews he's 30 years old. I don't really expect him to be good. But, you know, this is why Caleb McGarry is so important, because you can have a weak link along the offensive line. You're not going to find really very many or maybe even any offensive lines in the NFL where they have five very good starters. You know, you can afford to have that weakness. You can't afford to have three positions of weakness along the offensive line, because that's just a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah, and this is I'm with you. Edge is a concern, but this one in my mind is probably, if not the biggest, it's right there. It's second biggest with the edge position. And you mentioned Josh Andrews, 6 years of experience. He's 30 years old. It would be surprising if he suddenly became a decent starter. You know, that would be some dark magic, like Dark Lord magic from Arthur Smith, to turn that around to that degree. This past week on Falcoholic Live, myself and Aaron Freeman of the Falc fans of the Locked On Falcons podcast, a guest on this podcast many times, we were talking about this, and Aaron basically, one of his takes was the starter at left guard is not currently on the roster. And he was making the case that he thinks that they'll ultimately either trade for somebody or look for a veteran that gets cut. To be a flyer at left guard. And I think he's probably onto something.
I'd be a lot more comfortable with that
than either
of these options. Because remember, the last time the Falcons did that was with Andy Levitre.
Andy Levitre, right.
Yeah, and Levitre ended up being a very, solid starter for, mm-hmm. For what it's worth. Yeah. I give Dimitroff a lot of credit for making that trade. That was very savvy. I think that was after the fourth preseason game where they just saw what a disaster the line was in that third preseason game against Miami, and they're like, "All right, we can't have this." So we'll see. I'll be very eager to see just how Josh Andrews and Jalen Mayfield perform, and the young guys at center, of course, in the preseason. Then we can possibly reassess our comfort level a few weeks from now.
Yeah, and that's. I feel like we have to add that caveat for the entire offensive line because, to the point I was making earlier, the depth for the Falcons on offense right now going into training camp is non-existent.
There's no depth.
Yeah. Looking at the roster, for the offensive linemen, purely offensive linemen, players with at least 3 or more years of actual experience in the league, there are 3 players. For the offensive line, Jake Matthews, Matt Gono, and Josh Andrews, who we just talked about. Otherwise,
Gono's injured.
Yeah, and Gono, exactly. Gono is injured. So 2 healthy players with 3 or more years of experience in the NFL. Everyone else is either entering their third year or less. That is incredibly and I'm all about giving the young guys a shot. That is without a doubt. I want these young guys to get an opportunity as opposed to signing someone like a James Carpenter, which you mentioned earlier. But having that much of your offensive line depth on the team essentially relegated to rookies and second-year players is highly concerning, especially when you're looking to conduct battles on the offensive line to figure out who's going to be your starter there. When one of your only 2 active, quote-unquote, veterans is one of the arguably the worst players on the team from a pass blocking standpoint, that has me sweating bullets. And again, I'm a big believer that Arthur Smith is going to revamp this offense and make it fun again. He's going to score some points. But if they cannot improve this depth and he is not a dark wizard capable of, altering time and space and reality, this is going to be a very, very difficult lift in year one. I'm not trying to say guys like Drew Dahlman and Jalen Mayfield aren't going to work out. I feel like there's very good potential with these guys, but the rest of them, oh my word! I'm looking at this rookie, first year rookie, 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 second year, rookie, rookie, second year. That is highly concerned. So it feels like the Falcons can't be done with offensive line. I've got to imagine some of these guys are going to fall off and they're going to start trying to look for veterans to get cut, during training camp, veterans to get cut in the preseason and try to bolster the depth that way. But right now, this is a very, very young unit. And, in my opinion, probably a little bit too young for comfort to go into the season like this. What do you think about the fact that probably 90% of our offensive line depth in training camp is essentially 3 years or younger in the league?
Yeah, if we need every single member of the offensive line to be fully, fully healthy as it stands right now.
Yes.
And then even then, they still may be they'll probably be a below average unit. Well, mm-hmm. Let me not say probably. If everyone's healthy, let me be more optimistic. They'll likely be an average unit.
As their peak, yeah, probably. Peak.
If we have any injuries as of now, you might as well go out there with 4 offensive linemen and just add an extra wide receiver. I feel like that would be better for the team. Right now, I think John Wetzel is maybe the direct backup with Matt Gono's injury. And John Wetzel is most known for being like cut and re-signed by the Falcons like six or seven times.
Every other week. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he's someone who at least has, you know, some experience. He played for the Cardinals for three seasons. He played a good amount. He was actually a starter in 2017 for them and 2016, but, you know, there were some injuries here and there. He wasn't very good. He wasn't a very good pass blocker. He was always a plus run blocker. But, you know, I have no confidence in this depth. And like you said, there probably need to be multiple signings along the offensive mm-hmm. line. That's going to be pretty difficult to pull that off and to bring in another edge rusher, which this team also desperately needs. But, you know, there's probably going to be some bargain bin shopping over the course of the next month or so. And, you know, it says a lot that I'm more confident in who they find in that, you know, discount bargain bin than I am what's available on the roster right now.
Right. This is I couldn't have said it better. You know, if we move past the guys that are certain starters, this is the list of guys who are on the roster and in competition for the center and left guard positions. If we assume McGarry does keep that right tackle spot. Josh Andrews, 30 years old, 6 years of experience. Willie Beavers, 27 years old, 2 years of experience. Drew Dahlman, rookie. Bryce Hargrove, rookie. Matt Hennessy, second year. Sam Jones, second year. Jalen Mayfield, rookie. Ryan Neuzel, rookie. Joe Sculthorpe, rookie. Keon Smith, rookie. William Sweet, second year. Willie Wright, first year. I mean, that right there tells you the story. I'm thinking back, and honestly, I cannot remember when the Falcons had this little experience across the entire roster for offensive line. Like, normally they've done a good job of mixing in, you know, guys who've played 4 or 5 years or been backups for 4 or 5 years. But there's none of that at all on this current composition of the roster. And, you know, when we decided to talk about offensive line, we joked about Sean Harlow. He would have more experience right now than any of these guys, which is sort of, you know, disheartening. All right. So with all of that said, Anand, we've talked about, you know, the starters, the guys we're comfortable with, our unease with right tackle. If you were to project right now, what do you think the starting five for the Falcons offensive line looks like for game one of the NFL season, 2021?
I think, you know, Jake Matthews, from left to right, Jake Matthews is left tackle. As it stands right now, Josh Andrews, probably left guard. Mm-hmm. I hope Aaron Freeman's right and that the starting left guard in week one isn't on the roster right now. But, you know, we can't predict that at all. So right now, if I have to say that, Josh Andrews. Center will be Matt Hennessy, most likely. Right guard will be Chris Lindstrom and, of course, Caleb McGarry at right tackle. And this feels like a unit that, you know, out of the 32 NFL teams, you know, maybe it'll be the 23rd or 24th best offensive line in the NFL this season, which, you know, isn't good by any means. But I would not expect this unit to be a top 10 unit in the NFL. And oh, no. If it is, then, you know, Arthur Smith is just like a wizard.
Yeah. Yeah. If that happens, sign Arthur Smith to a 40-year contract at this point. All right. Jake Matthews for me at left tackle, clearly. Left guard of the guys who are currently on there, I'm going to change. I'm going to go a little bit different here. I think it will be Jalen Mayfield because I think Josh Andrews hasn't shown that he can do anything in this league of note. But as to your point, and I agree completely, I hope that they go and look for some veteran depth that can fill in that spot instead of going with the second worst option. Center, I'm actually also going to disagree here. I think that Dahlman is going to show up in camp. I think the coaching staff wants to give him the job, and I think he will be the day one starter. You know, no offense to Matt Hennessy, but I think Dahlman is going to get as many opportunities as possible. And I think he's going to, that's my hot take for the podcast. Drew Dahlman is a starter at center.
I will say, if Dahlman and Mayfield are the starters in week one, that's going to be the most intriguing route possible that we have with this offensive line. That's going to be something where, you know, I'm not going to say that it's going to be a very good offensive line, but I'll definitely be, you know, very much keeping my eye out and, you know, tracking that interior of the offensive line, because I feel like that's probably the most exciting option, because if they are starters in week one, it'll mean that they'll have earned it. That they'll have shown the coaching staff something in preseason, in training camp, to give them that trust right away.
Yeah. And to be clear, I am not in general in favor of starting multiple rookies next to each other on the offensive line. You know, that is almost always a recipe for disaster. You want some kind of veteran presence next to each rookie that you're starting. And, you know, there's only so much Jake Matthews can do from left tackle and Lindstrom can do from right guard. But to your point, I feel like this coaching staff is going to give both of these guys every opportunity to earn a job, because they're, you know, as you mentioned earlier, they are their choices in their first draft class. And I think they want them to work out. And then obviously, to round out my predictions, right guard is clearly Chris Lindstrom. And I do think that McGarry will start initially at right tackle. And we'll see what happens with Gona. We still don't know the extent of his injury. We don't even know what his injury is at this point. We just know he's injured and he's going to miss some time. So we will find out soon, because the minute they open training camp, they have to do something with him. And if he goes on the PUP list, we'll have a little bit better impression of what's going on with his season. All right. So with that said, obviously, I think you guys can probably tell Adnan and I are both concerned about the state of the offensive line. Yet at the same time, seeing some opportunities for slight optimism. So take that for what you will. Adnan, any final thoughts on the offensive line before we wrap up and close out this podcast?
Yikes. Okay. It's July, and you know, I'm obliged to be an optimist. I am the optimist of the Falcoholic. Maybe Mayfield and Dahlman end up being massive gems that Terry Fontenot just like uncovered in his first year as GM. And, you know, maybe the offensive line is better than what we're predicting and what we're giving them credit for, you know. But yeah, no, I wouldn't count on it. Not in year one, at least. So, you know, this is a unit where hopefully they can tread water. Hopefully they won't be just a complete disaster that holds everything back. You know, nobody's expecting them to be the Dallas Cowboys or the Indianapolis Colts this year, where, you know, they're just this plus unit that just mauls defensive linemen left and right. You know, hopefully they can just, you know, stay out of the way, so to speak, this year.
Yeah. I could not agree more.
That would be a big victory.
Yes. I feel like right now the floor is absolute worst in the league, holds this offense back. Like, I could see this unit being that. Even with two good players on it, you know, having, as you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, having three big holes on the offensive line can cause major issues. And let's hope that they do something about that. I think they will. I think they know that right now the composition of the roster is not ideal. These are not dumb men in front of the franchise. So I feel relatively confident in saying that I think they're going to try to address some of these issues before game one gets here. All right. With that said, Adnan, remind our listeners where they can find you, what you have going on.
Mostly on Twitter, at Say Which Way. I kind of took a bit of a vacation the past month, so I haven't been around. And I put a pause on my article series, trying to look at what the greatest moment in Falcons history is in a March Madness style bracket. We've gotten through the Sweet 16, and in the coming days, I'm going to write up and publish the Elite Eight and the continuation of that series. It's completely determined by votes of the readers, so you guys determine what plays go through. And, you know, by the end of August, we'll have a winner crowned in that one. It's something that I've put a lot of thought and effort into the past few months. So, you know, I'm glad that it's finally getting some life.
Yep. And for those of you who do read the site, go check those articles out and vote. Let your voice be heard. As for you guys, you can follow me on Twitter at FalcoholicDW, updates for this podcast at FalcoholicPod, and of course, our articles daily at thefalcoholic.com. So for Adnan Ikic, this is David Walker. Thank you guys for listening in. We'll talk with you next time.